Okay, let's get ready for the study of the Word of God and worship of God and His Word. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, to adjust yourself from getting up and getting here to worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is so important that we understand how easy it is to stop loving as Christ loved, which is the new commandment that we're to live by. So, Father, we pray now your Spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see and to understand. Pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, last week we left off with the fall of Satan. And I want to end last week and begin today. The first thing Satan did was not violate the righteousness and justice of God, but he stopped loving God. He stopped loving Christ. And therefore, the angelic conflict ensued. Now let's turn this beginning today to Psalm 52. Psalm 52, verse 1. Boasting is at the heart of the angelic conflict. Let's look at Psalm 52, verse 1. Why do you boast, O evil, in evil, O mighty man? Okay, so the mighty one, Jesus Christ, versus the mighty man, Satan. And why do you boast in evil? This is stated to Lucifer, the mighty one. Satan boasted of his evil plan. Now, in contrast to the boasting of Lucifer is the love of God. Look at the first phrase. The loving kindness of God endures all day long. That means through the heat, through the trial, through the coming of the sun, the heat of the day, closing of the day, doesn't matter. God's love endures through all of that. What is in contrast to boasting to Lucifer? The love of God. The loving kindness of God endures all day long. Boasting versus divine love is what we find in Psalm 52:1. Boasting of Satan, our boasting, versus divine love, or for us, spiritual love, as given to us by God the Holy Spirit. Boasting finds its origin from Lucifer. Spiritual love finds its origin from God. So therefore we have the great spiritual warfare and the angelic conflict. Spiritual love is from God. We receive that by the filling of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual love does not boast. Boasting comes from Lucifer. So whenever you're boasting, you can just chalk it up. You are imitating Lucifer. When you love as Christ loved in the power of the Spirit, you are boasting of Christ. Now, the same principle holds true, every believer, for us in our life. Once you begin to boast, you know these things that you are, and you take them as though they are of yourself. You know that you are no longer operating in spiritual love. Anytime you find yourself boasting, casually, declaratively, you're not operating under spiritual love or the filling of the Holy Spirit. You no longer love God at that moment. You no longer love Jesus Christ at that moment. You no longer love one another at that moment, as we're commanded to do under the new commandment. You have stopped loving. Now, when you stop loving, you can count on jealousy, envy, and boasting to set in. And then you count on conflict or the angelic conflict or rebellion in your own life. So let's be sure we get it down. You could either be in your marriage, at work, in life, traveling, doing things. One or two places. We're either in the filling of the Holy Spirit, loving as Christ loved, or we're in the flesh and we're imitating Lucifer and we will eventually boast and can start rebellion. Secondly, you know when you're boasting, you know that you're no longer think that everything you have is from God. You stop thinking that. Maybe not consciously, but subconsciously in your mind, everything you are in your mind and you have is not from God. It's from your own being, your own self. Therefore, you are going to boast. Once love is gone, once we stop loving as Christ loved, what fills up that vacuum is jealousy, envy, and boasting. Jealousy, envy. Here's jealousy, envy. So to counter the jealousy, envy is boasting. I'm jealous of God, Satan, so I boast, though, how great I am. And that happens to us in life. We're jealous, envious of someone. We are in our own mind, if not in our own words. We start boasting. What makes me better than that person that I'm jealous or envious of? So you can know a great deal about yourself and your real thoughts about somebody else. You can know your thoughts about somebody else from how you treat them, how you are jealous, envious, boasting. If you find yourself boasting, you know one thing, you're jealous. Otherwise, why would you boast? You got to make up for what you're jealous of them for. That's what happens in our mind when we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, third, you think that everyone and everything that you have, you are, is for your own glorification, your own exaltation. I'm this, and therefore, I'm great. This is what causes people who have to be in control. Control in their marriage, control at work, control in life. They've got to be in control because they have the advantage over others in life, therefore they should be in control. So you set yourself up, you exalt yourself, you boast of yourself, and therefore everyone else ought to cater to who and what you are. So you've got to be in control. Your advantages are not so that you can glorify Christ, but your advantages are for your own glorification, so that you can control everyone else. See? So this is what you have to be. We have to be so careful in regard to not having spiritual love, the filling of the Spirit, and what happens when we have the control of the flesh nature. In reality, we're jealous, envious. That leads to boasting. That leads to arrogance, which is going to be the next thing we study in spiritual love. And divide. It's not going to gather. It's going to cause trouble between yourself and others. But you're not going to realize it because you're too busy glorifying yourself. You're too busy promoting yourself. This is what happens to a man or woman, but a man who has to control in marriage. He doesn't see it because he's so busy exalting himself in that position where he's in control. So he doesn't even see what he's doing to the others in life. But when we are operating in the filling of the Spirit and the love of Christ, on how Christ loved us, see, spiritual love, we're not going to boast. We're not going to boast. Spiritual love will use all the benefits that you have to glorify Christ. You will use them for the body of Christ in the local church, in your marriage, in life. Spiritual love adds utility to who and what we are. This is the impact of spiritual love. Now here's what problem I run into occasionally. Probably the major point of this whole study. Here we are, lost our way down to this point in our study on boasting. It is the nature of spiritual love to serve, not to be superior. It is to serve. And it is the nature of boasting to be served, to be recognized and served. It is the nature of spiritual love to serve. Now, I've got to follow with some points, but let's look at the Gospel of John 13. The Gospel of John 13. And let's begin reading in verse 3. Where we are is in the upper room. In a few hours, Christ will be crucified. So, we're sometime maybe around 9 o'clock Tuesday night. Jesus, verse 3 now, knowing that the... Well, let's just get the whole context. Verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that'll happen in the morning, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, during the Passover, now there are two Passovers this week. It's a special Passover. History verifies this, and then there's the traditional one on Friday. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. But right now, this Judas is sitting at this table. He's sitting there with these others. Now, verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God, and was going back to God, embraced everyone, stood up and made them serve him, and told them how great he was. It's not what it says. Not what it says at all. Got up from supper, laid aside his garments, that's laying aside his deity, picture of that, taking a towel, he girded himself. He put on humility in front of the disciples. So this is what we're going to be looking at. This is what spiritual love does. Here's the Son of God, the supreme man in human race. He gets up from the Passover table, laid aside his garment, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Now, people, this is not like if we were to this morning wash each other's feet. Most of us have already washed our feet, took a shower, clean, put on socks, nice clean socks. Less like me, you wore yesterday's socks sometime. Not this morning, but sometime. No, these people walked in the sewerage of the streets in sandals, got dirt all in their toes and all of this. It was not a nice thing. It was really ugly. All right, so Jesus Christ gets down and washes their feet. Verse 5. He poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Now he finally came around to old Simon. Uh-oh, we know something's going to happen. Simon just can't let things go. Now remember, these were young kids. Simon may be 19 at the most right now. And he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Now, Simon had it right in that sense. This is the Son of God. This is my Savior. He doesn't wash my feet. Okay. Jesus answered and said to him, what I do to you, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. Peter said to them, never shall you wash my feet. Now, probably what he did, he pulled his feet up. Now, Jesus Christ is on the floor. He pulls his feet, nasty feet up. His nasty feet are right now in the face of Jesus Christ. They're right in his face. Not my feet, you don't. See? He couldn't turn around and get his feet somewhere else because they're on a bench. So, he's on this side of the bench, pulls his feet up. Jesus Christ is on the floor. He puts his nasty feet right in the Lord's face. This is unbelievable. What's going on? Now, so, verse 8. Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Okay. Good old Simon. I got you. Simon Peter said, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head. Here, wash all of me. Jesus said to him, calm down, Peter. You who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. Not all of Peter, but no, he said all of you disciples. There's one who's not, and that's Judas Iscariot. This confirms that he's not saved. So he's not in that group of the saved. Not all of you are clean. Judas is not saved. He's walked with the Lord some 3 years, 2.5 years. Not saved. So, verse 12. When he had washed their feet and taken his garments, and reclined at the table, again, got back to his place on the table, he said to them, do you realize what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example, that you also should do as I did to you. I'm thankful Peter didn't say, well, give me that bowl, let me start washing their feet. He sat down and going to learn something. Truly I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master. That's his relationship to them. That's their relationship to him. He is their master. Not only is he their Lord, not only is he their teacher, he is their master. Truly I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. Jesus Christ is not greater than God the Father. The humanity of Christ is not greater than God the Father. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Not if you know them, if you do them. So many believers that I know over the years, if they just learned doctrine, the more doctrine they knew, that meant that they were really top class with God. And they wanted to learn more doctrine. And they studied, they would listen to doctrine every day, some of them several times a day. Because I got to have doctrine. No, no, no. It's if you do them. That's why we learn the Word of God. So that we can do the Word of God. So this is a very important verse, verse 17. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen. But it is that Scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. From now on I'm telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it comes, when it occurs, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. Who receives me, receives him who sent me. That is, they receive God the Father. Okay, that's the background for what we're going to do now. Let's see what we learned from this, some of the things we learned. Okay. It is the nature of spiritual love to serve, not to be superior. It is the nature of boasting to be served, to be recognized. It is the nature of spiritual love not to brag. Let's note a few things. One, spiritual love is content and therefore does not need to boast. Two, spiritual love is content and does not need to be different, does not need to be better, does not need to separate from all others. It is arrogance, smallness of the mind that has to be better, superior. So let's go over this. Spiritual love is content and doesn't need to boast. Spiritual love is content with who and what you are and does not need to be different, does not need to be better than others. In March, I go to Houston to a pastor's conference. There are close to 100 pastors from all over the United States there. They're very prone to want to be better than some of the others. Spiritual love doesn't allow that. Spiritual love is content. Some of them have larger congregations than I do. I don't worry about it. Spiritual love learns to be content in who and what you are and what you have. Spiritual love does not have to be different, better, separate. Point three. It is the nature of spiritual love to serve, not be superior. It is the nature of spiritual love to serve, not be superior. Four. It is the nature of spiritual love to be sacrificial to self for the benefit of others. It is the nature of spiritual love to be sacrificial to self and beneficial to others. We are to love as Christ loved. How did Christ love? Sacrificial to self for the benefit of others. He sacrificed his own position at this night at the table for the benefit of the disciples. He had to teach them a lesson. And finally, five, God does not choose to love out of some need he has, but God loves out of his nature. God is love. God's love sees the need of others. Okay. People, it's so difficult for us to do this. But if you can for a moment, think about Jesus Christ. Now, it's about, we'll just say 9 o'clock for conversation's sake. In the morning, he will be arrested. He will go through 6 trials, be beaten, spit on, mocked, crucified. Now, we don't have too much capital punishment anymore. There used to be various movies made about people who were getting ready to be executed, capital punishment. And that was all that was on their mind. What about my family? What about me? Am I ready? On and on and on. One of the best ones is an old movie by Susan Hayward, I Want to Live. And she was to be executed. And she walked in all of her glamour to the chair, and they postponed it. This went on and on through the night. By the third or fourth time, she looked ragged walking to the chair. And that time, they didn't postpone it. They executed her. Think about that. What would you think about if you knew you were going to die within hours? Within hours. Jesus Christ comes to this table. He sees a need of these men. Not just in handling his death, but in doing what they need to do after he's gone. What can I do to teach them after I'm gone what they are to do? I will wash their feet. I will serve them. From this, they should learn they need to serve one another. Not the world, not unbelievers, believers. That's the only way I know how to teach them. Not in words, but in action. So here is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in his humanity, getting ready to die, gets up, he's thinking totally of these men. That's what spiritual love will do. You'll get your eyes off yourself. You get your eyes on others. That's why one of the most important things I try to teach you about spiritual love. Spiritual love sees a need. God's love sees a need. For in this manner, loved the God, the world, that he gave his Son. That's what's all they need. His love of the world, what they need is my Son. His love saw the need. His love met the need. Now at this table, he sees a need. These men are boasting who's the greatest, who gets to sit on his right side, who gets to sit on his left side. They're totally out of kilter. They have no idea what's going to happen in hours. They have no idea. The turmoil, the historical turmoil that is about to occur. He's got to get them ready. Not just for his death, but more for his departure. They'll know how to live after he's gone. So this is what Jesus Christ is doing at the upper room and washing their feet. It's very important to understand in regard to divine love, which is spiritual love. God looked down and saw the conditions of man. Divine love did not see his superiority, didn't even see his own superior righteousness in a bad way. He saw, I'm righteous, they're not. They need my righteousness. That's what he saw. And therefore, what can I do? And so out of his love for mankind, he gave up his Son. He sacrificed the most valuable thing he had, that is his Son, for the benefit of these rotten scoundrels, members of the human race, including Democrats. I'd ought to put it in some kind of perspective for us of how what this is. He died for them. That's his love. This is the way God loves. This is the way divine love acts. Spiritual love is from God, God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when you love as God loved, when you love as Jesus Christ loved, in this way, your spiritual love will express itself, behave itself, not in boasting, not in being superior, not in being set apart, but in serving. But in serving. Serving those who are beneath you, if that be the case. So this is what we're looking at. The love of Jesus Christ that we're to imitate is a love that motivates to serve, not to be served. To serve, not to be superior or better. But out of that love, see the need of the object of that love and seek the benefit of others to the sacrifice of self. Can you imagine, just think about it, the mentality, the emotion of Christ before he dies, down on the floor, washing the feet of these 12 men, including Judas Iscariot. I can't imagine what went through his mind when he was washing Judas's feet. What he must have been thinking. What he must have been thinking when he washed Peter's feet. You're going to betray me. If you only knew what's coming up for you, Peter. But he washed the feet of all 12 of these men. So, disciples came into the upper room hours before the Savior was to be crucified, totally occupied with himself, bragging, boasting as to which one was greater, bragging which one was closest to the Lord, bragging who was the more spiritual. People, they were totally minus spiritual love in any capacity. Not one of them, not John, not Peter, not any of them had spiritual love at this time. No spiritual love, which resulted in being occupied with himself. If there's no spiritual love in you, chalk it up, you're going to be occupied with yourself. Which led to boasting, which led to conflict, which led to the fact no one was going to serve or be served. That's the condition of these 12 men. When Christ walked into the room, they are in no condition ready for tonight and ready for tomorrow morning. They're so occupied with themselves, he has to brace them. So he does something as drastic as get down and wash their stinky, dirty feet. Let's note what the love of Jesus Christ motivated Jesus Christ to do. Remember, angels are watching. Angels are watching what's going on tonight. I don't know if they had any idea what was going to happen. We know that Mary Magdalene did. But I don't know if angels did or not, any of them. Well, I'd like to think some of them did. But be that as it may, they're watching. They're watching to see what's going to happen this night. So let's see what love motivated Jesus Christ to do. Let's begin by a clear understanding that Jesus Christ, infinitely superior, excuse me, to every one of these men combined, superior in every way, in essence, in person, in origin, perfect, superior in moral sense. He's sinless perfection. He's superior as a member of the human race. Yet, Jesus Christ did not use all that superiority, all of his greatness, to boast or exalt himself. He didn't do that. He did not do that. Okay. How he must have sacrificed himself to think of these other men. Nor did he use his superiority, his greatness, to praise them. You bunch of losers, I can't believe I chose you. See? You're acting like a bunch of Democrats or a bunch of Republicans who cater to Democrats. Just whatever way you want to word it, whatever way communicates to your soul. See? See? He didn't do that. He did not stand up and give a clear, penetrating speech on how superior he was and what was getting ready to happen. He didn't do that. And why not? Spiritual love would not let him. Again, John 13, everything Jesus Christ did was motivated by love. Look at John 13, 1. He loved them to the end. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He loves them to the end. Now, under the new commandment, foremost commandment for the church age believer, we are to love one another as Jesus Christ loved. We're to love individually, which means that our love should follow His love. He set the precedence on love. In fact, as we have already noted, it is not I who love, but Christ who loves in me and loves through me should be our attitude. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I would like to think that when I'm gone, that the main momentum of my teaching is spiritual love. But it seems though it's faith in the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way we can have spiritual love, is by the Holy Spirit. So I have to emphasize how we get this spiritual love in order to imitate Jesus Christ. He set the precedence of love. He set the pattern of what this love will do. In fact, as we've noted this, Christ who loves in me, through me, is what I hope people are to see. See? This is what your spiritual love will be like in you. Not bragging, while others may be bragging. Not promoting self, while maybe others are promoting themselves. Not trying to make sure everyone knows just how wonderful you are. See, that's what we tend to do. Want others to know, really, how wonderful I am. See, how superior I am to other members. Now, your spiritual love will motivate you to serve, not superior, be superior, and not brag. Instead of bragging of all your advantages, of all your blessings, your spiritual love will compel you to serve, to do, or say whatever is needed for the benefit of others, instead of competing with others. Serve to the sacrifice and benefit of others. Let me tell you something. I don't know if you know this or not. We have a member in this church whose credentials are astounding. Kit Sheehan's credentials in the military are astounding. And yet he serves us. He gets out our messages on Sunday morning. He gets out our messages throughout the week. He serves. Kit Sheehan to me is a perfect example of what we're talking about and how spiritual love serves. As far as his military career, he is superior to anyone in this room, anyone in this congregation. And I mean superior. His accomplishments, rank, where he was, superior. But he serves. Without any money, without any glory, maybe a little flack from his wife sometime, having to come down here when it's horrible weather or something, but he serves. Okay, principle. Spiritual love realizes that all advantages are from God. All advantages that I have in life are from God. That in and of ourselves, we are nothing. And that what makes us something is what God has provided. Therefore, by these advantages, blessings, we're motivated to love. Therefore, motivated to serve. The disciples bragging over which one was superior, each one wanting to be sure that the other disciples recognized him as, I love him better more than you do. All this kind of thing. I'm superior. They're bragging. they were deceived. They cause conflict. People bragging always causes and creates an environment that is antagonistic. When you brag, somebody else, like, and it should be just something simple. Well, I'm a Baptist. Oh, big deal, I'm a Methodist. Well, both of y'all, I'm a Presbyterian. See? Not, I'm a follower of Christ. Hey, so am I. Let's go have a Coke. See? But the minute we start bragging, we set up competition. Somebody has to match that. Somebody has to improve on it, be better. See? That's the way we are. That's the way the flesh nature is. But if we just said, I believe in Christ, follower of Christ, hey, so am I. Let's sit down and talk. I'm not better, you're not better. We're both like-minded here. Let's sit down and talk. How'd you get that way? See? So, this is really the heart of our whole study on Sunday morning, 9:15 class, is the impact of spiritual love in our lives. Now, in contrast to the disciples bragging, Jesus Christ, out of his spiritual love, does not brag, did not tell of his own greatness, but got down on his knees and served. Jesus Christ, out of his love, got up from the table, got down on the floor, and served. His love was for the benefit of others, not the promotion of self. The love of Christ will not brag. The love of Christ will serve one another. This calls Paul to write Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, believers. Only, do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through spiritual love, serve one another. That's what we're to do. We're to serve one another. See? That's what freedom does. Now what happens in our political realm, we're free, but a lot of the Democrats think that makes them superior. Everyone should serve them. Do what they want. See? But if you understand the principle of freedom, you have freedom to serve one another. That's what you have. Freedom to love one another. What's marriage? Marriage is freedom to love one another. Not be superior. Not be superior. I have the freedom to serve my wife. Not have her serve me, but to serve her. That's what freedom does. It gives us the opportunity to serve one another in spiritual love. See? So, to serve, therefore no bragging. Jesus Christ declares over and over that he did not come to glorify himself. Who did he come to glorify? God the Father. Who is the Holy Spirit here to glorify? God the Son. The Holy Spirit is here to glorify the Son. The Son is here to glorify the Father. This is very important. A lot of people think we worship the Son over the Holy Spirit. No, we don't. The Holy Spirit is our Lord, who takes us to our Lord, Jesus Christ, who takes us to our Lord, God the Father. We serve all three. We glorify all three in our lives. This is what we do in life. See? Love is a force inside of the believer that sees a need in others and then seeks to serve to meet that need. Sacrificial to self for the benefit of others. That is love. Spiritual love. That is loving as Christ loved. Serving one another. Now, this is why spiritual love, loving as Christ loved, will not brag. This is why spiritual love is the mark, the insignia of somebody that believes in Christ and is a follower of Christ. It's not how much doctrine you know. It's not going to church. It's not giving money. It's not doing a lot of things that people promote. Look how holy I am. Look how moral I am. Look how righteous I am. Look how wonderful I am. Let me tell you how great I am. All these things. No. Do you love one another, sacrificial to self, beneficial to others? I can think of believers right now and over my life. Their whole idea was how great I am, how humble I am. Look at me. See? But they wouldn't sacrifice for anybody for anything, not even their own family. It's about them. What they want, what they're going to get. They like to push themselves forward, how moral they are, how wonderful they are, how they go to church, how wonderful their church is, and on and on and on. But they're not about ready to love as Christ loved. Not even in their own family. Not even in their own family, much less outside of their own family. They're not ready. Okay, people, they do not glorify Christ. You want to glorify Christ? Serve one another out of spiritual love. That's how we glorify Jesus Christ. So, this is why spiritual love, loving as Christ loved, sets up the mark, the insignia of a believer throughout all the church age. Some 2,000 years now. Some 2,000 years. In fact, I think we're getting close to the 2,000 year mark. If Christ was crucified somewhere between 30 and 35 A.D., then we're getting close to being exactly 2,000 years, but we round it off. But some 2,000 years, what's been the mark? Wherever they are, wherever country, whatever condition, slave, slave owner, rich, poor, black, white, red, yellow, whatever, what's the mark? What's the mark? Not how much doctrine you know, how much doctrine you live. That's the mark. Do you live by the Word of God? Do you live by the power of God, the Holy Spirit? The Spirit-filled life is not characterized by bragging, but by spiritual love. What did Christ say in John 13? By this, all will know that you're mine, if you love as I love. By this, all will know something about you. Not by your bragging. You don't have to brag. You don't have to tell them to do a serve. Spiritual love will not brag, because bragging scatters, bragging divides, bragging causes tension between people. Spiritual love unites. Spiritual love seeks to serve. Spiritual love seeks the benefit of others. Bragging causes others to compete. Bragging causes conflicts. Bragging scatters. Spiritual love unites. Brings about communion. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, spiritual love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Now, when most people read that, oh, I gotta love people. Love of the flesh is not going to do this. I cannot make that any clearer. This is not talking about love of the flesh. This is talking about spiritual love that comes from the Holy Spirit. So you got to know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Which very few know how. Very few know how. But verse 14 is very important. above all these things, beyond all these things. And people, he's given a long list of some wonderful things. See? Kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Well, how wonderful can you get? Beyond all this, put on spiritual love, which is the perfect bond of unity. It is this that bonds believers in a marriage, in a church, in a family, wherever you are. Believer with spiritual love does not exalt self. Believer without spiritual love puts down others, tends to pull others apart. Spiritual love attracts, brings about communion. Spiritual love creates an environment where others are content, comfortable to be there, to worship there. They don't know exactly, nearly as much as maybe others. Doesn't matter. Because they don't feel inferior. They sense that that's not an issue with these people. What's an issue is that I'm here. That's where I want to be. That makes it really beautiful. Look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 4. Romans 2, 4. Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? The kindness of God leads to reconciling with him and with others. Now what happens here, a lot of people, now they wouldn't say it because they know better, but a lot of people in their own soul have a little contempt for kindness. Kindness is what you do to weak people. And I'm not weak. I don't need your kindness. See, kindness is what you do a little kitty. See, a hurt little dog. Have a little contempt for it. And a person that's really kind, they don't like a kind person. They don't like that. You're weak. If you're a kind person, you're a weak person to them. And I believe that many women have passed up God's design of a husband because that man was just too kind. And they didn't want, they wanted a macho man. They wanted a John Wayne, not some kind person. See? That's why they have contempt for it. Now put that in perspective of verse 5. See? Or verse 4. Do you think lightly of the riches of this kindness, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repent? Do you think lightly? How do you think about kindness? How do you think about kindness? I don't want to be kind. Kindness is weakness. See? Kindness means I have some kind of respect for them that they, no. I'm a big guy. No. Don't have contempt for kindness. Spiritual love is kind. We've already studied that. It'll cause you to be kind in your life. Next, being a believer, born out from God, being a member of the kingdom of God, spiritual birth means that you receive spiritual endowments. This is what 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3 was about. See? Read, if you go through these, you have knowledge, blessings, gifts, and so on. See, knowledge of doctrine, gift of faith, blessings from God, opportunities, all of this type of thing. Spiritual love receives these spiritual endowments with humble gratitude. Spiritual love receives these and therefore wants to use them to glorify God. Now, look at Acts chapter 5. Acts Acts chapter 5. Verse 36. For some time ago, Judas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 joined up with him, but he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed, and look at the last phrase, and came to nothing. Now, we're near the end, don't have really time to study Judas. There's a debate whether he's a believer or not. I'm not sure he was a believer, but I think his parents were, because his name means given of God. God given. That doesn't mean too much about him, but maybe his parents were believers. And he grew up, and doesn't really matter whether he's a believer or unbeliever. He took whatever talents he had and tried to gather a following, claiming to be somebody, boasting. Here's a perfect illustration of the principle of someone gifted by God, either naturally or a spiritual gift, whichever way it came about, and used it for his own glory. He used it to exalt himself and gather around him, around Christ, but around him, a group of about 400 men. And we'll just say, 395 women. Let's say five of the men weren't married. But anyway, be that as it may, close to 800 people and children joined him because of his gift. And look what happened. He was killed, and they turned into nothing. It just vanished into nothing. That would be a terrible thing. You die, and after you die, nothing. What a horrible epitaph. Here lies so-and-so, nothing. Nothing. What a wasted life. People, you don't want your life to be wasted. Walk in the power of the Spirit. Love as Christ loved. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're just all struck in with Jesus Christ this night. In hours he will die for us. But he cared so much for these disciples that he turned it to teach them and us. Father, we're so thankful that we have an example, not just exhortation in words, but a living example of what spiritual love looks like. I pray your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.